gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. I have a new Facebook page, you know.
You certainly do.
It's right on there. You can email us all there.
Just click on the banner ad at stephaniemiller.com to get to the Facebook page.
Yes. We have a big, big show. Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe, the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, Reverend Jim Wallace, in Hour 3. And now, ladies and gentlemen, all rise, radio royalty, Bill Press, live in the New York Bureau.
Wow.
Stephanie Miller International.
Hey, girlfriend, how you doing? I thought I was the resident preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know
show.
What this is like? Because
Jim
your show
Wallace.
Precedes mine on most of these fine
Isn't
stations.
It weird?
It's like getting someone, you've gotten your peas and your potatoes. It's like, hey, you've got your Bill Press and my Stephanie Miller. What?
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually finished by this time.
This is the radio version of You Got Your Peanut Butter, My Chocolate.
Well, I can't think of any better place to have my peanut butter.
But your milkshake is better than mine, and that's all that's important.
Hey, Steph. How you
Hi,
doing?
Honey, I saw you
so
on
this
the...
is it. This is the big time. This is New York,
yes,
right?
Yes. If I can make
right
it
along...
here, I... Okay.
Between Mary Poppins and McDonald's.
If you can make it here, if you can make it there, you'll make it anywhere. More on
New York
that later.
Has rejected me like a bad organ, as you know, Chris. So, Bill Press, I've seen you all over the TV with your fabulous new book, Toxic Talk.
Toxic Talk, which we don't practice here, but yeah, no. Thank you. It comes out today. It's
yes.
exciting, you know how it is. You work
I think
on these
that, that, that deserves a second butter commercial music, I think. Toxic Talk, out today at a bookstore near you.
How the Radical Right Has Poisoned America's Airways. You know what? Comes out on the day that the FBI released a report this morning from Politico about the death threats increasing for members of Congress
yes.
who, like me, vote for the stimulus. And
right.
then somebody drives up and says, you vote for stimulus, I'm going to kill you and your kids. Where do you think they're getting it from?
Yeah.
They're getting it from listening to this a-holes on
yeah.
right-wing talk radio.
You know, I went to a...
the people you talk about.
I went to a book party here in New York because I'm fancy. For Helen Thomas, and, you know, she's been covering this for a little while, and she
yeah.
was saying, it was interesting, but she was talking, she said, this is the worst I've ever seen it, and that's saying something, because Helen Thomas covered
by the way,
Lincoln's
yeah.
inauguration,
yeah.
so.
She's 89 years old, they're preparing her 90th birthday party.
Wow.
And she is the sharpest one in the press corps.
Oh, now, I know.
You go to those briefings, she's in the front row, right in the middle. And she just doesn't take any crap at all. I mean, she'll speak out of turn anytime,
no,
and she just challenges Robert Gibbs. She's good.
Toxic Talk, of course, refers
yeah.
to right-wing talk. There, the oil spill. We're sort of the Corexit, but not as we're sort of the dispersant progressive radio, but not toxic.
Well,
the good kind of dispersant.
Look, you know, you and me, I've been doing this for a living. I love good, stimulating, hard-hitting, passionate, sock'em, knock'em
right.
political debate, you know?
Right.
And that's what I did, crossfire and all that kind of stuff. But that's not what we hear today from these guys like Michael Savage, I think, is the worst, you know?
Yeah.
Glenn the Bexter, as
yeah.
Ed Schultz calls him. It's just a steady spew of hate-filled name-calling.
Right.
You start out by calling Hillary Clinton a stereotypical bitch, as Glenn Beck has.
Right.
You don't get very far, you know, in debating the issues.
Right.
When you start there.
Right. And you know me, I never call those idiots names. See what I did there? You didn't even see that coming. Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting. You and I have been
But there's
doing...
a difference between humor and having fun.
Right.
These guys aren't... They're not having fun.
Right.
They
well,
mean it.
You remember when, Janet Napolitano, they came out with this report talking about violence and right-wing hate groups. And, of course, they all scream. They're all like, oh, this is...
Oh.
And then, you know, then the actual figures come out, and it's true.
The point I think I'm making the book, but when in Fort Hood, right,
they yeah.
said the killer down there, he was influenced by this Muslim cleric, Alawi, giving these
yeah.
anti-American speeches. Well, so right away... You know, the wingers believe that a terrorist can be influenced by hateful rhetoric. Why can't these nut jobs in this country be influenced by the hateful rhetoric they hear on the radio? They
right.
are.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, well, Glenn Beck, you mentioned him, and I was saying, I've been saying
He's
lately.
He's a basket case.
Well, right. I have a friend that has worked in a psychiatric institution for many years, and she would tell me stories of Martha, who's... buttons would scream at her from her nightgown, and
mm-hmm.
she would tell me the things that Martha said the buttons were saying. And I'm like, that's kind of what Glenn Beck, like, it doesn't really even make sense to then, you have to first deconstruct the craziness before you even go, what? I don't even know what that means.
I think he reminds me of somebody who is, he's like broken into the studio. He doesn't belong there, and he keeps looking over his shoulder to say, are they going to throw me out? You know,
right.
He's so far.
Right.
And you're right. I think at any minute I expect to see him fall on the floor in a seizure, you know, just out of his mind. And the guys in the white coats.
And you won't know. He really is becoming almost like the.
And put him on a stretcher and carry him out.
Right. He's becoming almost like the Andy Kaufman of, like, you're like, is it an act or is he. is this going to be. I mean, that's the problem.
Mentally disturbed.
Yes. I think
it's
the
nicest thing we could say about it.
I think it's skosh. you know, in fact, Chris, I'm thinking we need to do a Right Wing World sometime this hour with Bill Press.
Absolutely.
So this is the theme of Toxic Talk.
Absolutely.
Our version of Right Wing World. Now, because we've both been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
We go back to KFI days in Los Angeles a billion years ago.
Yeah, when Dr. Laura was there.
Yes.
Remember, that's before she became crazy.
Yes, I followed Rush and Laura on that station. Yes.
I mean, Laura was at that time a liberal. She used to call my show and agree with me whenever I was taking on the religious right and all that stuff. Yeah, whatever happened to Laura?
I used to call in jokes to her show. But
I think she might have changed in order to make more money.
Interesting. Well, I've said this before about, you know, when I hosted Equal Time.
Maybe
we have that in common.
Maybe that's a mistake.
I hosted Equal Time with another Buchanan, with Babe Buchanan.
With Babe Buchanan. I was on that show with you and Babe. Yeah.
But,
so we do go way back in this stuff.
Right, but my point is that I've said this many times on the radio, Bill, about Ann Coulter. Remember, she was just one of the stable of the blonde Republican pundits that we used to have on back then. And I'm like, she made a calculated decision. She's like, oh, I need to get crazier to sell more books and get on TV more. And it worked.
I was on last night with Joy Behar on the headline news with, don't mean to name drop, but I was on with Ann Coulter, right? Ann Coulter, who was born with a meat cleaver for a tongue. You know,
yes.
Sort of thing. And you know what? Ann was really upset because I wrote a book about toxic talk and I don't include her.
Really?
Because she doesn't have a radio show.
She doesn't have a radio show. That's the only reason. I said, otherwise, you'd be on the cover, you know? But she was upset because, you know, I would help her if I had only attacked my book.
Did you say, trust me, I think you're man enough. It's just that you don't.
It didn't occur to me to say
have a
that.
Radio show.
Yes, I love that.
but anyway, interesting perspective.
She's made quite a living out of toxic talk.
Exactly. But this is our point, is back, you know, when you and I have been on these stations, I had some of the highest ratings on that station, as you have as, you know, Bill, or as, you know, Ed Schultz and Randy Rhodes and Tom Hartman, a lot of our friends in progressive radio. This has been, you know, what we've been screaming about, is we still have, 10% of the stations in the country, and they keep doing that old canard that, it's because nobody wants to listen. Liberal talk doesn't work.
Yeah,
and
it's such BS. It does work where you give it a shot. In the markets where you are, in Portland and Seattle and, you know, San Francisco, all the way down the list, L.A., you know, the progressive shows, your show, Ed's show, Tom's show, do great work. But the problem is you're not on in enough. We are not on in enough markets.
Right.
You're right. 10 hours of right-wing lies every 1 hour of progressive.
And anybody that knows radio, it depends on what signal you're on and this and that. And, you know, I mean, Sean Hannity once whined to me about ads. what do you call it? Ed Schultz was running in trade magazines about all the markets he was beating Sean Hannity in at the time. And he goes, oh, but that market I'm on, I'm like, oh, really? Your signal isn't as good there. Let me call you a whambulance.
You know, in Washington for about 5 minutes, we had a progressive talk station, right? The signal was so bad, you could not hear it in Washington.
Right,
you could hear it, like, across the river. So people would be listening. They'd be crossing the Potomac.
Right.
And then the station would disappear.
Right.
I can't tell. Everybody thought
that
the Bush White House was zapping the signal. I used to get all these calls from people saying, I just want you to know that Dick Cheney is in there playing with a bzz, bzz.
No, it was just, if you had the wrong kind of fillings, you couldn't get it. It's like, oh, wait a minute, I got it a block ago. But that's another example of where the right said, oh, see, liberal talk doesn't work. That station went away in Washington. Well, what they don't say is every format that's ever been on that station had zero ratings. Sports, whatever was on, you know.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, Dick Cheney.
Right, and they have a right-wing station there that had the same ratings that's still on.
That's still on, right. Yeah. I just have to say, Dick Cheney, I mean, this is what we see in the Gulf, the legacy, bill, the legacy of having two oil men in the White House.
Right.
People said it wouldn't make any difference. Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I mean, Yeah, I know you've been talking a lot about this, but it just bugs the hell out of me that they let them drill deeper than they've ever drilled before.
Do you love that Sarah Palin? Did that just make your head spin around 16 times?
Oh,
that
yeah.
It's because the president's so in bed with big oil.
The queen.
Apparently he was the drill baby drill guy during the
queen,
campaign. Not,
the queen of oil, right? Remember, her job as governor of Alaska was to decide how much money each resident got from the oil company.
Yeah. And then
starting with herself.
Who is
right?
it? The nonpartisan. What is it? They're like, Republicans get five times as much money for
right.
oil as Democrats. Like, what anyone would know, right?
Yeah. The numbers that I saw, 900,000 to the Obama campaign and
$2.5 million
for McCain. Right.
Yeah.
So just about three times as much. Right.
Yeah.
But Sarah Palin, the other thing I loved when she said that. People don't understand the complexity of this problem or something like that. You know, complexity and Sarah Palin should not be in the same sentence
right.
together.
Yeah, well, you need a think tank like her and Michelle Bachmann to really, you know, understand the
to
complex.
To probe it.
Yes.
What?
All right. We will, in fact, we will probe the oil spill with Bill
Excuse
Press.
Me?
Take your
Whoops.
Calls and do Right Wing World as we continue. Bill, what a treat is this? Bill Press
it's
live
so
in
fun.
Studio.
Here we go.
At the Stephanie Miller Show. We will be right back.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, Bill Press is finding out just how delightful I am in person. He joins me live in studio here in New York. First of all, I walked to work, Chris, so I kissed him, and I had a really sweaty upper lip, so that was nice.
That's gross.
And now I'm eating Japanese.
Did you ever kiss somebody after they just ran a marathon? You know what I mean? Or gave them a hug after they just ran a marathon?
He kind of cringed. He was like, oh, hi.
Yeah. I'll be smelling like
and now
body
I'm eating,
sweat all day.
I'm eating leftover Japanese noodle soup, Chris, and it's like that commercial where my food is fighting me, and noodles are slapping me in the face.
Yeah.
And Bill's just like,
I was going to say, I was going to ask if people know that you eat constantly during the show.
Yes, Bill's like, no wonder you're not married. Ew. You are gross. 22. There should be splash guards in here. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to talk to the esteemed Mr. Press. Toxic Talk, his fabulous new book out today. You talked about the oil spill.
By the way, I also say some nice things. I lay it out at the right-wing talkers, hate talkers, right? But say some nice things about you Ed and Tom and some, you know, those
Listen,
who are
do you think you would be here if
the truth.
Stephanie Miller
was not mentioned prominently? I did the thing we all do, right, Chris? I turned to the index. Where am I mentioned?
Yeah. You gave it we call it the Washington Reed.
Yeah, right.
I kid you not, I gave a copy of the book to a friend, I won't mention, at CNN.
Right.
I won't mention Howie Kurtz's name.
And yes.
And immediately he did. He took in the makeup room, he took the book and turned right away to the index to see if he was mentioned.
There he is.
Fortunately, he was.
So let's talk about the oil spill. Chris and I got into some fisticuffs yesterday.
Yes, we did.
And I won.
No, you didn't.
I most certainly did.
Here's the thing. I do not want to help our friends on the Toxic Talk right on the president. First of all, he's not Aquaman. I do not want. I mean, you know what's interesting, Chris? Yesterday, it's like you weren't alone. There's James Carville and people.
Sure.
But then it's like, I mean, you're helping the Sarah Palins, and there she goes.
Yeah. Well, I didn't hear the debate. I was on the train yesterday at this time, but. Chris, I don't know what you said. I love you, but this is not Obama's Katrina. That's just
no.
BS,
I didn't say it was.
Right?
I didn't say
and
it
you
was.
Cannot. You can't blame him. And it is the legacy of George Bush and Dick Cheney. That's when the permit was given. That's when the environmental regulations were relaxed and all that kind of stuff. But life is not fair. And I think it's got the point right now where after 36 days, you can't trust a foreign oil company to clean up this spill.
That's right.
So I really think Obama should declare a national emergency and take the freaking thing over and put the Army in charge or something.
The Army Corps.
You know
Army's got to be. Yeah. The Army Corps of Engineers, I think, would have more answers at this point than BP.
Well, Chris, all I'm saying is, and in fairness, I mean, it's not like the points you were making other people haven't made, but all I was saying is everything you brought up, he was doing. You were like, well, why isn't he talking to other oil companies? Why isn't he talking to other scientists?
And they've been there.
By the way, I was going to say this yesterday, and Patrick writes, Steph, why not impose a stiff daily fine for every day the spill continues? Say $10 million a day.
Exactly.
Incentive, and then today it comes out they are going to be doing that, or at least that's being talked about. So, you know, it's I'm just saying.
My point yesterday was that I think Obama right now is losing the PR war. He is giving the impression that he's not on top of things.
That's
the problem. They don't have the expertise and the equipment, Bill. That's the problem. And the Coast Guard commandant was, I think, fair about that. It's like, yes, we could push them out of the way and then replace them with what?
I heard him say last night, and I almost fell off my chair, that we're not going to be on top of this until at least August. That means he was saying that.
Well, they're saying that the relief wells are the only permanent solution that they for sure.
But you can't go around saying we are not going to have this fixed until August. And you know, first of all, I know you've asked this question, I'm sure. Why did they allow them to give them the permit in the first place to drill where they've never drilled before if they didn't have a plan in place in case there was an accident?
I think what Barbara Boxer is talking about is clearly, to me, there seems to be criminal liability here. They lied to them. They said, yes, we have the safety precautions. We have the know-how if there is a spill, blah, blah, blah.
They're going to school children now in Louisiana saying, any of you second graders have an idea how to fix this?
Yes. Are we smarter than a third grader? No. Yeah.
But I have to think somewhere in the North Sea where they have all those platforms out there, there's got to be somebody there who's one of those oil companies that's got an answer.
Right.
Get them over here.
Let me ask you something else real quick, because I know this is becoming a topic. I was watching Morning Joe this morning. Is this Joe Sestak thing? And I'm a big Joe Sestak fan. And
I am, too.
Yeah. So I...
let me tell you.
But first of all, I guess this probably happens in politics all the time, right? Like, there might be a job for you if you get out of the primary.
You know, I was Democratic chair of California at one time, right? I remember being in conversations where people would say something like, you know what? Yeah, you're messing this up by running for Congress. Why don't you run for the state Senate and we'll all endorse you and help you raise money and you can kind of help. And those deals are made all the time, right?
Right.
I think, and I've no doubt that the White House had some conversation. I think Joe Sestak inflated it, maybe, and when he talked about, like you, I supported Joe Sestak all the way.
Right.
I think he's great. Carol even wrote him a check. But I think he ought to stop talking about it. He won the freaking primary.
Right.
So the first thing he does after he wins the primary,
people keep asking him.
Well,
so
he
that's
doesn't
the
have to answer. He's not Rand Paul, for God's sakes.
He has some impulse control. All right, let's go to Jeff in Chicago. You're on with Bill Press and Stephanie Miller. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, Stephanie. I've been listening to you for a few months now, and I do get a few chuckles out of your show. I'm going to tell you right up front.
That's all that's recommended, by the way.
I'm sorry?
That's all that's recommended is just a few chuckles. Otherwise, it's...
Well, I do get them. You guys are funny sometimes. I got to tell you up front, though, I am a Republican.
Sorry. Do we allow that?
I heard that. But you know what? Not all Republicans... We definitely have some head cases in the Republican Party, but I consider myself a reasonable and socially responsible person.
Okay.
But I will say this.
Thank you for your preamble. Let's get to the main body of your address
my thing
now.
Yesterday you guys were talking about the oil spill and setting off explosions to shut it off. Now, the Wildcatters, and you talked about the John Wayne movie, they do the explosion, which deprives the fire of oxygen, which puts out the fire, and then they cap the well. So an explosion, 5,000 feet under the water would not help.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying, and I'm not really an engineer.
We're not pro-explosion on the Stephanie Miller
Newscast. No, we're not pro-explosion, except for in my box.
Excuse me?
Just a fake one. I faked it. It's not an actual one. Yeah, I'm not a scientist, Chris. It just doesn't seem like that's a wise idea to blow it up. But
I'm puzzled by the socially responsible Republican. Does that mean he uses a condom?
29 minutes after the hour, back with more of Bill Press, live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Still mad because Dad gave Rita that MG and all you got was a Plymouth Valiant?
My goodness, the things you remember.
It was a Dodge Dart.
That was my first car, a red Dodge Dart, with no shocks.
Oh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Good times. Bill Press, live in studio.
Dodge Dart. Man, I forgot all about those.
I had a red Dodge Dart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We are...
Did they have the buttons, you know? Remember?
Buttons?
For gears
I'm
instead of...
I'm entirely too old to remember that.
Oh, Stephanie okay. does not know how to drive a manual. She can only
yes,
drive...
Yes, I do.
Do you...
Yes, I do.
You said a couple of
a
things.
A stick?
Ago really? That you didn't know how to drive stick.
Really?
Yeah.
I must have forgotten. I think my first jalopy... Mr. DeMille wanted it at Paramount. I remember I drove it over. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The Dow is down 217 points. Bill Press, Toxic Talk is out today. It is a book about right-wing talk radio.
And we have a link to where you can get a signed copy from Bill Press himself up at StephanieMiller.com and at your Facebook page.
It's where dreams come true.
I know.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank
Beverly,
you, Chris.
In Chicago, you're on with Bill Press. Hi, Bev.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Bill.
Hey.
Bill, I can't wait to get my copy. I hope
all
you
right,
find
Bev
it already. Hey, listen, Bill.
Good.
I'm a little off the topic, but I want to talk this toxic talk of this blaxploitation at Glenn Beck is doing. I'm sick of Glenn Beck exploiting Dr. Martin Luther King's name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How can we address this? I mean, do you know how angry and insulting it is for me to sit there and watch this idiot try to juxtapose himself and the GOP with Dr. Martin Luther King and Gandhi?
Oh, I know.
These people have no shame.
Absolutely. I know. We're going to talk to Reverend Wallace in hour three. I mean, it's just hilarious, you know. The Glenn Beck's the fight that he started with Reverend Wallace, who, I'm sorry, but in my understanding from many years of Catholic school, Reverend Wallace talks mostly about what Jesus talked about.
Hey,
how is that, you know?
Can I say, as a former... Not only Catholic school, Catholic seminarian.
Wow. Right?
Oh, that's right.
Studied for the priesthood. I mean, Glenn Beck doesn't know what the hell he's talking about when it comes to the Gospels. I mean, the social Gospels. The popes have talked about economic justice. This is the Christian Gospel.
Right.
Right. And I've talked to Jim Wallace about this, too. And for Glenn Beck to get up there and say, if you hear the words economic justice or social justice,
leave.
Run out of your church.
Unbelievable.
I don't think he's ever cracked the New Testament.
I forgot you were a seminarian. What went wrong? How did you decide to become a heathen instead?
I met this girl.
It always...
A girl named Carol.
Seminary always ends with a girl.
I think I'm going to be a lowly radio host and get some bow chicka bow.
Well, Bill Press was also a big wig in the California Democratic Party, don't forget.
Bill Press is a big wig everywhere. He's a big wig TV pundit, a big wig Politico.
It is funny. So often and former chair of the California Democratic Party. Yeah, that was 14 years ago. It's like I almost forget about it. You know? But it was fun, 3 years. Clinton was in the White House. Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein had just been elected. It was a good, healthy time for the California Democrats. I had a lot of fun.
Speaking of which, you know, Barbara Boxer, the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, just I love her. I mean, is there a chance Barbara Boxer could lose in California? I mean, it just it is stunning to me. She's the finest, one of the finest senators we have.
She is a fighter. She is great, and she's not only a wonderful person, she's just right on all the issues. But you know what? First of all, every incumbent's in trouble today. Every incumbent's got a bullseye on their back, but they always underestimate Barbara. She is a phenomenal campaigner.
Yes, she is.
And she gets out there, and people, I think, just like her because she's scrappy and she says what she thinks, you know, and she takes on anybody.
Yep.
So it depends on who the Republican nominee is, but she's been lucky so far. She always gets a wacky nominee, starting with Bruce Hershenson, if you remember, way back.
Right.
And then March Fong Yu's son.
Yeah,
Matt Fong, I think, and who knows who it's going to be this time? Maybe crazy Carly Fiorina, right?
She drove
Hewlett Packard
into the ground.
And now they say, oh, she'll be she'd be a disaster as a senator.
She has started running TV ads here in California, and I got to say they're kind of slick. You know, I haven't seen anything from Barbara Boxer. Yeah.
Well, President Obama is in San Francisco today.
Well, let me just say, I just mentioned that my HP PhotoSpark printer died for the... This is the fifth one that's died, and I blame Carly Fiorina.
I would blame her, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the one.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
but
go
the
ahead.
President's in San Francisco today for Barbara Boxer.
That's right.
Oh, good.
Helping her out, so good for him and good for her, yeah.
Good.
She's great.
Yeah, she's... and you don't want to fight with Barbara Boxer. You don't... You, seriously. Yeah.
I guess he wants to fight.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
And if that's where we're going, that's where we're going.
Bring it. Get it.
Because we're going to have a fight.
Get it. B-Box rocks. Okay.
Right.
Bill, Rand Paul, the gift that keeps on giving, or...
Oh, God. You know what?
Wow.
He is Sarah Palin, you know, like, what's the reverse of drag? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, cross-dresser, Sarah Palin maybe or something?
Yes. Sarah Palin in a tie.
There you go. Okay. Yes. When she gave her first interviews and they said, oh, my God, put her in a cave somewhere and don't let her give any more interviews. That's
right.
What they... Carl, you know you're bad when Carl Rove...
Yes.
...calls to say, shut up.
You need to shut up now.
I need... Doesn't get
but
any
this
worse
is entertaining, isn't it? I mean, you got there and have got to be freaking out behind closed doors.
You know what's scary? This guy really believes that. I mean, he really believes that government should have nothing to do with private business. So, I mean,
we should get off BP's back. We should.
We all talk about the Civil Rights Act, right, where he wants to go back to the segregated lunch counters. But with the Americans with Disabilities Act, he said, no, people should not have to put in elevators. Put all their offices on the first floor. That's
there was a disabled person, I think, that they interviewed that was protesting and said, look, I know in my own experience, like, it doesn't work that way. If you just like, say, oh, we're just going to leave it up to people to do the right thing, you know.
Even William F. Buckley, Jr. said, I thought that we could, as a nation, evolve into no discrimination. And he said, no. Government had to step in.
Yeah, even he admitted he was wrong. I know.
Then he says Obama's un-American for being too tough on BP. I think most Americans think he's not been tough enough on BP.
Yeah.
You know?
It may sound cynical, and it probably is because it's an attorney that said it to me once, but, you know, said stuff. People don't do things because it's the right thing to do. They do it because they have to. And, you know, maybe not in every case, but I think by law.
Here's what I love. He's complaining that our good friend Rachel Maddow ambushed him, right? That this was a trick question. I'm sorry. Do you support the Civil Rights Act of 1964?
Right.
It's not a trick question.
Right. Well, you know, the hometown paper had already talked about this. It had already been on NPR.
Right.
It's a fair question.
Oh, yeah, years and years ago. This is what he really believes.
Yeah.
But the idea that this was an ambush,
I know.
Yeah, is the sky blue. It's
and
not an ambush question.
And she gave him 15 minutes to explain it. Where do you get that in television, you know?
And he took 4 days to decide that, yeah, I would vote for it.
Oh, yes. Now that I have some time to think on that.
What a leader.
Jeannie in Ithaca, you're on with Bill Perez. Hey, Jeannie.
Ithaca, great time.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, last night on Hardball, Mike Papantonio, that's the name, was on, and he was on fire, you know, because he's on the Ring of Fire. Anyway, and
he's always on fire.
I know. His point
is... He creates a ring of fire around Bobby Kennedy and... David Bender.
That's right. Anyway, he was saying that the oil spill, what the experts are saying is they can't stop it until it just finishes getting depressured, until it, you know, equalizes. And what happened in Saudi Arabia is they had a really bad spill, and they got in these tankers, a whole bunch of tankers that suck up the oil and separate it from the water. And there's special, he goes, the whole point is the cleanup at this point. The cleanup isn't happening. And that's where he's really pissed. He's just like, they can't stop the gush.
They can't really get serious about the cleanup because the damn thing is still leaking. And they don't even know how much is leaking in that straw that they put in. Now they say that isn't
working
either.
That's not working.
So is it today? No, tomorrow they're going to do
the top kill, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But his point was if you don't...
Yeah, we all listen to this. We've all turned into Schneider from one day to the time. Yeah, it's the top kill tomorrow and then the jump shot. Okay, let's go to Steve in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Bill Press. Hello, Steve.
Good morning. You know, the president's problem is that he's almost always the only adult in the room, and we've gotten used to so much Bush speak, like dead or alive. I mean, I'm sure he's trying to deal with the oil spill, but everybody wants this heroic effort like he's going to swim down there and cap it himself.
Right. Yeah, that's what I've said. It's the they want the Aquaman solution, apparently.
We have a collective case of ADD. There's no doubt about it. You know what I mean? We want everything done by today, or if not yesterday.
I mean, the Coast Guard Commandant said that Monday there'd be nothing to gain by pushing BP aside, putting the government in charge. He said to push BP out of the way would raise a question to replace them with what? He insisted BP was exhausting every technical means possible to deal with the leak. But we were saying it seems like the bigger issue here is this just proves the case that then you can't drill there if it's not, because you cannot, how can anybody now say, oh, well, it is safe? Oh, well, you know, that talking point that, oh, no, the technology now is better. It clearly isn't. Not only is it not better to prevent it, it's not better in terms of how to even stop it.
True, which is why I really think that President Obama has to drop his plans for more oil drilling off the Atlantic coast.
Yeah, I agree.
And every
time
I hear him say, we're going to, you know, we're doing everything we can here, and by the way, we're going to make sure that, like this commission, he appointed the commission to study how to fix things so we don't have this problem again. I don't want to see any more oil rigs, period.
Yeah. Well,
it's not worth the risk. There's not enough oil out there.
Bill, you know politics better than anybody. This is more of this bipartisan outreach. Maybe we'll get votes on the energy bill if I go to the middle on drilling. And this is a perfect example. What do we get for that in health care? Nothing. Got his hand snapped off.
Didn't we learn from health care that this gang, look, first, I think bipartisanship is way overplayed. You know, screw it, as far as I'm concerned. But with Boehner and Mitch McConnell, you're definitely not going to get any Republican votes. They've said it, haven't they?
From the beginning. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, your calls, Right Wing World, and more as we continue with Bill Press live on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Just want
kiss. Oh, yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Bill Press, live in studio with me here in New York. Toxic Talk, his new book out today. It's fabulous. Pick it up at a bookstore near you or on the internet. So I understand you can do it that way, right, Chris?
Yes, you can.
Tell me you can purchase things on the internet.
Yes, you can purchase a signed copy.
You can purchase the Kindles and things like this, too.
You can purchase a signed copy of Toxic Talk by going to StephanieMiller.com or to your Facebook page or even BillPressShow.com.
Right, and tell me how you want it signed. Let me tell you, some people, I'm not going to repeat some of the things that I've signed in books. But
yes.
I, my rule is you tell me how you want it signed. And
you'll do it.
I'll do it. As long as you pay for the damn book.
Which in some circles is known as book whore. All right. Or
and
you can read it.
To be
Hal
otherwise.
Sparks will probably read it on his fancy iPad. You can pretend like you're turning pages. It's crazy. All right. Let's dive into the Right Wing World with Bill Press.
All right.
That's really the
I'm
theme
ready.
Of the Toxic Talk. Oh, Glenn Beck, here he goes again.
Uh-oh.
Is it me? Is he a little repetitive? Is it like the verbal version of the Flintstones background?
I mean, that's all it is. That's why the same people watch and they hear the same things.
Here he is again. On
right now, freedom is on the run.
Mm-hmm.
It's, it is a almost complete plan. Destroy the Constitution.
Yep.
Destroy
check.
The founders. Mm-hmm. And destroy our faith.
Check.
What part haven't they done? What more do you need?
Bill, what else is on our checklist? We're almost, our evil plan is almost complete.
Yeah, I mean, destroyed the country, destroyed the planet, destroyed the Constitution.
Yes.
Destroyed freedom.
Yes.
Yeah. What's left?
You and I thought of this in our underground lair together years ago. And he's right, our master plan is almost done.
Paranoia? Maybe?
Yeah.
No?
Maybe that's the reason his ratings are down.
That's why I wonder. I was going to ask you your take on Glenn Beck's ratings because I thought maybe you can go too far with the crazy where then it wears off. Then what do you do? How do you top yourself?
It gives me a momentary blip of faith in the American people.
Yeah, right.
Momentary. Until the next nutcase comes along.
the new shiny nutcase. Charles Krauthammer on the on the Brit Bear.
Remember when he was nominated, he said that his accession to the presidency would mark the day in which the earth began to heal and the oceans recede. Well, when you anoint yourself King Canute, you can't be surprised when the people expect you to command the tides, and obviously he can't.
Oh, my God.
I think he may be twisting just a skosh what the president said in his speech.
I am so sick of these people who claim that Obama anointed himself the Messiah.
Right.
They're the ones that start calling him the Messiah, right? And the one, remember?
Yeah.
McCain, that one?
Yeah,
right?
That one.
Yeah. And so then when he doesn't live up to it, then they say, see, it didn't work.
It's God.
Oh, boy. Okay. Glenn Beck again.
I think it's penis envy.
Yes, absolutely.
He has one and they don't. All right, Glenn Beck on the Fox News.
They want revolution. We're not wanting revolution. We don't want fundamental change. We want change, but we want to change away from corruption and socialism and revolutionaries and our faith being decayed and our banks not being trustworthy and not being able to trust anybody on television and Islamic terror and sports stars and everybody else.
Sports stars?
Are there any good and decent people out there?
Sports stars?
Would he be the person you can trust on television? Is that his point?
You know... It's just these guys. I don't know where to start with this, you know?
He's like, I just wrote a book about it, and I don't even know what to say.
It just gets worse and worse. And again, talk about repetitive, right? I mean, I'd like to hear a sentence of Glenn Beck's without the word socialism in it. Or socialist, you know?
Yeah, you just every sentence. You're based on, and your proof of that is...
Yeah, hello.
Okay. O'Reilly on the Fox and Friends.
Nobody's come forth and said... This is what BP should be doing and is not doing. All right? Mm-hmm. You start there. So I haven't heard one expert say, oh, I can fix that.
Right.
Not one.
I know.
So I don't think anybody knows what to do. I thought that they basically in the very beginning should stuff every member of NBC News in that hole.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they did want a junk shot. So
all
it would make
at
sense.
Once.
Oh, God.
That's a little joke about the death of everyone at NBC News.
Yeah, that's as close to Bill Riley gets as being funny, right? And he wasn't even close, right? Yeah. By the way, I've heard a lot of people say what BP ought to do. Plug the damn leak!
Yes.
Right? From day one.
Brian Kilmeade on the Fox and Friends. Oh, boy.
The media has been attacking Rand Paul since his controversial comments of a 1964 civil rights ask. But are his critics just fanning the flames of a racial divide in this country?
What? That's a Fox question.
The critics are fanning the flames?
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. The critics are causing racial division.
Instead of Rand Paul.
Yeah, Rand Paul had nothing to do with it, right? No. No.
Wow.
But you're right. It is so funny to watch how Fox will twist.
Well, that's what Sarah Palin does. Oh, the president is causing racial division by commenting on the Arizona law being racially divisive. Yeah.
Right. Or when the president it's because he took so much money.
From Big Oil.
Because he's in bed with Big Oil.
Yes. Here she's funny. You should mention that. Here she is saying it now. Sarah Palin.
I don't know why the question isn't asked by the mainstream media and by others if there's any connection with the contributions made to President Obama and his administration and the support by the oil companies to the administration. If there's any connection there to President Obama taking so doggone long to get in there, to dive in there and grasp the complexity and the potential tragedy that we are seeing here in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, if this was President Bush, or if this were a Republican in office hadn't received as much support even as President Obama has from BP and other oil companies, you know the mainstream media would be all over his case.
He's taking gall darn it so gall darn long to get in there and dive in there.
And if there's anybody you can trust to get to the complexity of any issue,
it is
Sarah Palin.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Robert Gibbs mocked Palin's suggestion that Obama was somehow in bed with Big Oil. Sarah Palin was involved in that election, but I don't think apparently was paying a whole lot of attention, Gibbs said. I'm almost sure that the oil companies don't consider the Obama administration a huge ally. We proposed a windfall profits tax when they jacked their oil prices up to charge for gasoline. My suggestion to Sarah Palin to get slightly more informed as to what's going on around oil drilling in this country.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I remember 2008 pretty well. I mean, and I remember... Drill, baby, drill.
Yes.
It wasn't Barack Obama who was saying it.
Yeah, in fact, Sarah Palin has said it since the spill, that she's still a great big fan of the drilling. She doesn't understand what the problem is with that.
So did David Bitter, by the way, who we know is a great fan and practitioner of drilling.
Oh, Bill Press made a hoe joke. That was a hoe joke.
That was funny.
By Bill Press.
You scamp.
I have read giant chunks of Toxic Talk, and it is fabulous. You owe it to yourself to pick it up. Out today in bookstores everywhere.
You're so good. Thank you.
And also, you must listen to every second of every Bill Press show and then leave your radio dial where it is.
That's right.
For the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am proud to be the warm-up act for Stephanie Miller.
That's right. And we will be in Asheville, North Carolina. Check the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. We will be in Asheville, North Carolina together the first weekend in June. I love you, Bill Press.
Love you, Steph. Thank you.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.